Welcome to our service for the third Sunday of Easter. It's a special occasion because later in this service you'll hear the first address of our brother Martin. I don't put surnames into this online service, as you may recall. But Martin has offered himself for ordination and he'll go forward for consideration at the end of the summer, God willing. We are praying for him and supporting him, and we are grateful for his willingness to spend this period up to his assessment ministering amongst us. He's doing all this while working for a living. We've been blessed with wonderful weather this past week or so, but I guess it won't be long before we complain that we haven't had enough rain for the spring plants. Sweet the rain's new fall, sunlit from heaven, like the first dewfall on the first grass. Praise for the sweetness of the wet garden, sprung in completeness where his feet pass. Our first hymn today is Morning Has Broken.
Morning has broken like the first morning. Blackbird has spoken like the first bird. Praise for the singing, praise for the dawning, praise for them springing fresh from the word. Sweet the rain's new fall, sunlit from heaven, like the first dew fall on the first grass. Praise for the sweet of the wet garden, sprung in completeness where his feet pass. Mine is the sunlight, mine is the morning, born of the one light, Eden saw play. Praise with elation, God's recreation of the new day.
I will arise and will go to my Father, and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. Let us confess our sins to Almighty God. Lord God, we have sinned against you and done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May Almighty God have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Collect, for the first Sunday of Easter. Almighty God, who in your great mercy gladdened the disciples with the sight of the risen Lord, give us such knowledge of his presence with us, that we may be strengthened and sustained by his risen life, and serve you continually in righteousness and truth. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen.
The reading is taken from Acts, chapter 9, verses 1 to 6. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, "Whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is from the book of Revelation, chapter 5, verses 11 to 14. I, John, looked, and I heard the voice of many angels surrounding the throne and the living creatures and the elders. They numbered myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, singing with full voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slaughtered to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honour and glory and blessing." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them singing, "To the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honour and glory and might for ever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen," and the elders fell down and worshipped. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Lord, I pray that you will open the mouth of your servant to proclaim that word in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's readings are interesting, as we have in the first, Saul of Tarsus, and in the second, the Apostle John in a cave in Patmos. Fascinating. What is the connection? The book of Acts is Luke's account of the beginning of the church. The book of Revelation is John's account of the apocalypse and the second coming of Christ. Saul of Tarsus is a keen persecutor of Christians. John, who in the Gospels is decreed as the one that Jesus loved. Jesus has shown a particular interest in Saul, who will later become Paul. So who is this man Saul? Well, Saul is a persecutor of Christians. Indeed, in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 to 3, the message states, "All this time Saul was breathing down the necks of his master's disciples. Saul went to the chief priest and got arrest warrants to take to the meeting places in Damascus, so that if he found anyone there belonging to the way, whether man or woman, he could arrest them and bring them to Jerusalem." Let us ask ourselves why. Christianity, pure and simple, is a threat to the temple. The Pharisee, which Paul had been brought up as, were strict zealots. Tom Wright, in his book on Acts, quotes, "Paul of Tarsus was a fervent right-wing Pharisee, presumably a Shamite, until his conversion." The Pharisees' strict adherence to the laws of the Torah meant that most were legal experts. This adherence to the law probably took away many sorts of feelings towards God, as the law would take over most thoughts. So why is Jesus and his followers a threat to the Pharisees? Well, Jesus brings a new covenant. This means a new law of God. The old covenant, indeed, needed to be replaced. We are told this through the prophetic books of the Old Testament. Indeed, there is a distinct mark change at Isaiah from the poetical and wisdom books to the prophetic books. Isaiah is the start of God letting Israel know that they have not evangelized as he had instructed. He is now paving the way for his intercede. God is going to come and declare a new world, not only to the Jewish race, but also to the Gentiles. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 1. "But the Lord will have compassion on Jacob and will again choose Israel and set them in their own land. And aliens will join them and attach themselves to the house of Jacob." Jesus came to fulfill this prophecy. We are now starting to get a picture of why Christians are persecuted. Plain and simple, they were a threat. If the Pharisees love the law and feel that the only way to God is through strict adherence to the law and cleanliness, then why is Christ a threat? Jesus states that the focus and the way to God is through him. He that is sent by God to free us from slavery and idolatry rules. Luke states in his gospel in chapter 18, to the rich official, "Keep the commandments and honour thy mother and father." Here, Jesus is starting to break down the idolatry ways of strict law-keeping to find a way to God. Now, to Saul of Tarsus, who is a strict convener of the law, this is a complete revolution. Jesus and his followers are looked upon with the same hatred as that addressed towards Rome. They are going to destroy everything that Saul holds dear. These readings are important because we are currently within the ascension period of the third Sunday of Easter. In this time, Christ is still visible, showing his followers a way to eternal life, the final period of his ministry. Let's get back to Saul. Saul goes to Damascus, and on the way our Lord declares himself to Saul, striking him blind in the process. This was the start of what we call justification. In Christian theology, justification is God's righteous act of removing condemnation, guilt, and the penalty of sin by grace, while at the same time declaring the unrighteous to be righteous through faith in Jesus' atoning sacrifice. Saul is dramatically struck down and converted to Christianity, from persecutor to disciple, poacher turned gatekeeper. That is some change. But that is how our Lord works. He finds those least expected. That's the beauty of God. If God has a job for you, then it doesn't matter who you are or what your background is. Romans chapter 8, verses 29 to 30, all states, "For God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son." Thus brings the concept of predestination. We all go through life doing this and that, and then, as we know, God has his time. When he needs you, he will call you. And this is what happened to Saul, who once converted, took his Christian name, Paul. This, I believe, is the message from the first Acts reading. The second reading has John. It also states, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slaughtered." Jesus, the sacrificial Lamb, who takes away the sin of the world. The new covenant dispatches of all animal sacrifice at the altar. And instead, Christ is sacrificed, and with it takes our sins to the cross. There he dies, wiping our slates clean. As long as we repent to God and live healthy Christian lives. We must always keep focus on Christ to get to God. Although Christ was crucified, he is still with us. The reading from Revelation also illustrates God in heaven with the sacrificial lamb beside him. There is a link here. Come to the Lord and gain eternal life in heaven. The question is being a Christian in today's society still a threat? Well, not so much as 2,000 years ago, but in most circles society is sanitized and Christianity is frowned upon. No Christian assemblies in schools, no talk in politics or religion, but we are called to evangelize and to spread the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, let us summarize. Anyone can be called to Christ, doesn't matter where you are and what you have done in your past. To be a Christian means to follow Christ and to keep the focus on him and the Gospels. For doing this, we are promised God's grace and eternal life. To live in the light of Christ is not always easy, nor does it conform to society's rules. But in the main, it is liberating to know that we can lay our burdens at the foot of the cross. The grace of God's love extends to all of us, and we are loved by our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you.
Now it's time for our prayers. Our intercessions today will be led by David. We begin with the Lord's Prayer. En tad yr hynoeth yn y nefoedd, sancteiddi y dy enw, deled y dernas gwneled y wychlis, megis yn y nef, fechli ar y ddear hefyd. Dero ni heddiw ein bar y beinyddiol, y maddau i ni ein dyledion fel y maddau o'n unna ein dyledwyr. Ac nac ar rhoi ni y brofedigaeth, eitha gwared ni rhag drwg, can i seith o ti o'r dernas, a'r gallu a'r gogoniant, yn oes oes oedd. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and for ever. Amen.
Let us pray. Lord, the whole world is so worried and desperately concerned for the people of Ukraine. We pray that there will be a peaceful resolution to the conflict, and that the men, women, and children of Ukraine will be spared further agonies. We pray that those fleeing the bloodshed will be welcomed with open arms in Europe and around the world, and especially in our own country. Lord, in thy mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, Lord, that you will guide and direct all who govern the nations of the world, especially at this time of international tension. The vast majority of the world's people just want a quiet and peaceful life. Please, Lord, help those in power to see the righteous way forward towards peace and harmony amongst all nations. Lord, in thy mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for your church throughout the whole world, and especially in conflict areas such as Ukraine and Russia. We pray that you will protect the Ukrainian church and give the leaders of the Russian church the courage to speak out against their country's war against Ukraine. We also pray for your church in areas of the world where Christians are being persecuted. Give these Christians courage to practice their peaceful religion and encourage the worldwide Christian family to support their brothers and sisters in their hour of suffering. Lord, in thy mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, Lord, for all those suffering from COVID throughout the world. We are so blessed in the first world to have had vaccinations against COVID, but we remember that the vast majority of the world's population have not had access to vaccinations and continue to die from this virus. Lord, in thy mercy, hear our prayer. We commend to your fatherly goodness all those who are suffering bodily or mental distress. We especially remember those known to us, not just our own family or friends, but also our church family. And we pray that it may please you to relieve their suffering and give them a happy outcome from all their troubles. Lord, in thy mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all those departed this life. Let perpetual light shine upon them and grant them everlasting life. We especially remember the members of our own family who have passed away from this mortal life. We also remember members of our church family who have passed away. Lord, in thy mercy, hear our prayer. Finally, we bless thy holy name for the grace and virtue declared in all thy saints. Grant that we, rejoicing in their fellowship and following their good examples, may at thy Son's appearing be set with them on his right hand and be made partakers of thy heavenly kingdom. Hear us, O heavenly Father, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our only mediator and advocate, to whom with thee and the Holy Spirit be all honour and glory, world without end. Amen.
The trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning.
surprise and the glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen one shall gather to the home beyond the skies, and the Lord is called up yonder, I'll be there.
Prayer of Easter Blessing. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great Shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, and work in you always that which is well-pleasing in his sight. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, rest upon you and remain with you, this day and always. Amen.